3-0. And swinging, Schwarber hits one toward the right field corner. It is gone! Another grand slam for the Boston Red Sox after they hit two in game two. And Kyle Schwarber has given the Red Sox a 6-0 lead.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, no Lance this morning. He is not feeling well, actually, so... He is sick, and hopefully he will get better in a hurry so that he can get back here tomorrow during the... I know he wants to be here to talk Astros baseball, because it just doesn't get any better than Astros baseball right now. Man, oh. Just ran out of pitching here. And we've talked about it, and we talked a lot about it yesterday. And I even, you know, asked Julia Morales. First thing I asked her was, you know, with what we're seeing right now out of this pitching staff, you just got to spend your money there. You know, not going to get that. And some people are questioning James Click. Some people are questioning whether or not James Click did enough. And you know, at the trade deadline, not going out and getting that hoss, not going out and getting that ace that's going to bolster and, you know, lead this staff. And right now with McCullers down, you see how tenuous it is to not have, you know, not be deep at it. And they're just getting waylaid. Now, I think this Red Sox team will waylay anybody. They waylaid the Rays. And that was one of the best staffs in baseball, one of the best teams in baseball. And they just, the addition of Schwarber at the trade deadline was just huge for them. And we talked to, who was it from Boston? Oh, it was Brian Barrett. Brian Barrett said, it's unbelievable. He's already taken on a leadership role. He did win, obviously, won a title with the Cubs. So, I mean, those guys, these guys, most of these guys all won a title as well. So they know how to win. But Schwarber definitely at the top of that order makes this whole lineup just so dangerous. And they have just come together so well. I don't know, this juggernaut, I don't even know if Lance McCullers was healthy, but it sure would be nice to have him healthy. You got Greinke tonight. Let's hear Dusty talking about Greinke. Greinke is going to go tonight with Javier backing him up. Here's Dusty's thoughts on Greinke starting game four.
Just as long as he can go. You know, as long as his endurance is fine. Like I said, as long as he can go.
Yeah, and that's a question. You know, if you get three decent innings out of Greinke right now, and I don't know, you know, Dusty, he probably pulls him after two and a third with no runs. That's what Dusty do.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
Well, no.
He's going to leave anybody. As long as you're putting up less than five runs in an inning, you can stay out there. Who cares?
Yeah.
Let it go.
I mean, it's just been so bad early on. How great would it be if Greinke comes out and is a hero tonight? How awesome would it be?
Stop getting my hopes up.
Yeah.
Stop it. You did that yesterday with Urquidy. That did not go well. I went to bed right after that. Nope. Don't do it.
You know, and Altuve didn't help. Altuve didn't help in game two. Altuve didn't help here. Now, Dusty defended Altuve and said it wasn't his fault.
And that wasn't a mistake by Altuve. You know, the ball didn't get there. And the other one was a very tough play because this is the grass looks thick. But it plays very quick, and the ball bounced up on him. I mean, that was a tough play. I know you're used to seeing him make those plays, but that was a tough play.
It was a tough play. It looked like it jumped up on him. He made the error, though, another error that is just opened the floodgates and led to the Schwarber Grand Slam, and then the game. He's got to make those plays, though. He's Altuve. He's got to make those plays. I know the ball jumped on him, but oh well. He's got to make that play, and that's a critical mistake. Whether or not, and of course, Dusty's going to have his guys back. But when you make that error like that, that is just a killer. Just a killer. It scored runs, and then it led to the grand slam, and it's just you got to have it. You got to have Altuve, who has been one of the best second basemen in the league before, and now all of a sudden, you know, last year we had the throwing stuff. This year we've got this, you know, a couple of huge errors that you can't have.
Well, I go back to what Dusty said. Well, the grass is playing really fast. It looks like it's thick, but the ball was rolling. Not in the outfield, it wasn't. Because the outfield, like that run, oh, who was up to bat? Right, fell right in front of Brantley, hit the grass,
and died.
Dead.
Died, yeah.
Right before, going towards Tucker. Hits it, Tucker sits back, and like he thinks he's going to be able to run at it and get that momentum of it coming at him fast. Nope, slows down, about 5 feet short of him. So I don't know what grass he was looking at. Maybe the infield grass was different, but the outfield grass was thick and heavy, and it's like being on the golf course and you hit it, you expect your ball to roll a little bit, and it just dead the second it touches.
I got a question. When are you going to flip flop Bregman and Tucker in this lineup? I know egos be damned. Tucker is hitting and Bregman isn't. And Bregman, you know, going 0 for 4 again. Altuve is killing you at the top of the order. He's not hitting. Bregman's not hitting. The top three guys in the order are killing you. They're just killing you in this series. They're just not hitting. And you got to get something out of them. Tucker's the only one that it seems like you can count on right now. Jordan is making outs in big situations, not coming through. This is you have got to have this lineup. Now it could turn around tonight. It can turn around for you tonight, and hopefully it will. But you know you. And Dusty said this too. One win. Win game four. And I don't care if you get beat 40 by 40. You win tonight, and this series is tied. And now it's a three-game series. That's all you got to do. Win one. Do it tonight.
You know, they count as one. You know, we come back, win tomorrow. The season's, you know, the series is even. You know, so, I mean, you don't like it. I'm not very happy about it, but I mean, you know, you got to flush this one because you can't bring this one or the last one back, you know, until tomorrow. And so, like I said, you don't like it tonight, you know, but the sun's going to come up in the morning.
Yeah, the sun will come up. You face Nick Pivetta. You can hit Pivetta. You can hit him. You got a guy who finished up the season. He wasn't great. He 4 2/3, 5 1/3, 3 2/3, 3 runs, 5 1/3. So you can hit Pivetta, and you're going to have to tonight. You're going to have to get to him, and you're going to have to hope that Greinke and Javier combine for what will be a legendary start tonight. Those two, if those two can get it, that'll be like Morton and McCullers and Morton. You just got to have somebody step up and somehow, some way, shut this offense down. I don't know how. Boy, they look unbeatable. They look unbeatable, this lineup. But so did the Astros before this.
But think back to 19. 19, they were a force that every single person in their wake went, oh, crap, that didn't go as I planned. That might be exactly what's happening again.
Yeah.
It might be just they've captured, with Schwarber added in, because Jeff Passan said it yesterday on ESPN, or this morning on the overnight. This team is a lot deeper than even they thought they were.
Yep.
Their lineup just keeps hitting where you would expect, oh, hey, we got a little lull here. Also, I swear, Vasquez has the most punchable face in baseball right now. I can't stand that guy. Always has the Astros number. Every time I see him coming up, I hate that guy. I hate him. But even guys who you would expect to be mediocre, slugging the crap out of the ball.
Yeah. Well, Hernandez, Schwarber, Martinez again. Good Lord. I mean, it's just somehow Greinke can outwit them tonight. Boy, would that be totally sweet. We'll get to the Rodriguez stuff after Jimbo. We got Jimbo Fisher going to be joining us here. He is in the middle of Ed Orgeron being fired at LSU. Scott Woodward, the AD who hired Jimbo at Texas A&M, obviously there's that relationship, and you wonder whether or not, and the question hit Jimbo yesterday. I'm not going to ask him again, but we will talk about the distraction with him coming up next. He denied that he's going. He loves Texas A&M. Yagi's not to worry. I don't know whether or not you got to give him another extension. You know, you got to summy him every year. You got to give him an extension so that he stays, a big raise so that he stays. I don't know. Jimbo might not mind it. That's fine. You know, but he said all the right things yesterday, and we'll talk to him next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Speaking of football, we got the Cougs are 5-1, and they're taking on East Carolina. Let's go. Who wants to go to homecoming? You got the expanded kid zone outside TDECU Stadium before the game. You got the presentation of the homecoming court at halftime, crowning of the king and the queen, recognition of the 2011 football team during the game. That team included Case Keenum, who will be there. Performances by the Spirit of Houston band, entertainment by cheerleaders, Cougar Dolls, Shasta, and Sasha. DJ Mai. May? M-E-I? What is that? I said DJ Mel yesterday, and that was probably wrong. That I would imagine, since it's M-E-I. Mixing it up in the student section. Okay, so we're going to give away tickets to that a little bit later in the show, but we want you to get on out there. You want to go? Let's go. 713-780. Well, not that. No. 713-GO-COUGS. 713-GO-COUGS. You want to get out to TDECU Stadium? Tickets just starting at $20. Let's go. Get on out there and support those 5-1 Cougs. 713-GO-COUGS.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, time to bring in the head coach of them Fighting Aggies right here on ESPN 97.5. Your home for the Aggies, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here, right there at 610 and 290. Get on over and watch your Aggs with the Aggs, Yanni and Frankie and all the Damaris people. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, guy. How we doing?
Doing great. Coach, I know you addressed the LSU situation yesterday, said all the right things, great stuff. How do you keep it from being a distraction for your team?
It ain't a distraction. Nobody even brings it up. We're so focused on what we're doing, how we're doing it. And there's no talk of it over here. We're ready to go. We're getting prepared for what we're doing here in South Carolina.
Well, I really thought, Coach, that you did a great job. Probably one of the hardest things after that big Alabama win was to keep the team focused, and you guys certainly were. Were you a little worried about that? What did you do last week to keep the team from, to making sure that their britches weren't too big?
Just educate them every day. I mean, kept bringing it up and reminding them which locker room they want, the one after Alabama, even the one after the other two games, and how you had to prepare, reminding them. And they did a very good job themselves. Our team leaders did a good job. They pushed them in practice. They did a good thing, and we came out with good energy. And I'd never known this. I think some of the worries a lot of people had, too, and it was a history of it. I didn't know A&M at Missouri. We've always had some really tough games, and I think there was one, if I'm not mistaken, after they did beat Alabama, they went up there and struggled against a good Missouri team. And this Missouri team had talent. They were a good team. But our kids locked in and played and just very proud of the way they broke it. And I'm going to say, we got to do it again this week. This is another team that, as you watch them, man, they're a team that gets better and better every week. They got some really good players, and we're going to have to play really good this week.
So you said those leaders, really pushed the guys. Who are those guys, Coach? Who has emerged as the leaders for this football team?
No doubt. Kenyon up front. Kenyon up front is a leader without a doubt. I think Spiller, I think Anaya, those guys in that part, I think Jamar on the other side, Clemens on the other side. I think Leon's doing a really good job of being vocal on that part of it and those guys. So, I mean, they did a really good job of getting it across.
Kenyon is a semifinalist for the Lombardi Award, Coach. Talk about the way he's playing.
I'm going to tell you, be able to play all four positions, play both tackle positions, both guard positions, and just the power and athleticism, and that, I mean, just the ability to understand. The game is really starting to make sense in a slowed-down manner to him, which it always did. But, I mean, you start getting to those levels where all the little things start really coming through, and with his ability, and you can see him push through, and it's just fun to watch, man. He's so talented, and he's such a great young man.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your home for Aggie football. Coach, I was a little surprised DeMarvin isn't getting more love. How's DeMarvin playing right now?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what
How's
you said.
How's DeMarvin? I'm surprised he wasn't a finalist. How's he playing right now?
He's doing well. He was our defensive lineman of the game or a player of the game. And, you know, again, moving inside, outside, and what he's doing. But, I mean, he may not – I don't really keep up with those awards as much. I see when they do get announced to the kids, and I'm very proud of them. But, and it wouldn't have shocked me either way because I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah. So, but it was certainly nice – the way you guys ran the football. You didn't have to put it all on Zach. He didn't have to do everything. He had a nice game. But the way you guys ran the football, 283 yards was special.
Yeah, it was. And we did different looks, different runs. They had gap schemes, had man schemes, had zone schemes. And that's why I say our young linemen were able to put more and more on them each week. And we're getting better that way. And you have to. You have to get some multitude of schemes because based on other team schemes, what they do defensively and what they allow you to do is – and that's the exciting thing about our young linemen. You know, you got to be careful how much you put on them early because, you know, you have to give them what they can do. And that's where we're growing as a football team, and we got to continue to grow.
Yeah. Well, and your linebackers, Coach, Cooper was all over the field.
He always is. And everything he does, that's the way he practices, that's the way he plays. And those guys, I mean, he can run, man. He can run, he likes to hit, and he likes to play ball. I mean, he loves to play ball.
Yeah, and Aaron, too. Aaron Hansford, those guys were –
they had a ton of tackles. Our linebackers had a ton of tackles. And I thought our offense and defense fronts were really good in the game. I mean, we didn't fit one run there. They popped out once. But, I mean, I thought, man, we controlled the lines of scrimmage, which, you know, allows you to be a very good football team.
Yeah. And South Carolina came up with a big win. What about them this week?
Defensively, I think they're doing an outstanding job. They got outstanding numbers up front. The guys up front for them, 1-6, 6-1, and Burke, them guys were all high-recruited guys. They can play up front. They're physical. They're strong. Backers move good. They're physical. Safeties can really tackle 12. 12 can tackle runs. 9 covers very well. The other guys can all run. The other corner was an ex-receiver who can run and really play. So he's got great ball skills there. 10 tackles well as a returning starter from a year ago. Offensively, they had the big back who led the league in rushing. He's been nicked up a little bit, and they've thrown it a little more this year. But, you know, the two-quarterback system, he got hurt last week at his foot, and they brought the other guy in, eight, and who played and brought him back around the field on a 75-yard drive. Fans, a receiver that can play. Really, veteran kicker. He's got a 9 out of 10, got a 54-yard long. So, I mean, they're good in all three phases, and this is 4-3. I mean, they've done a really nice job, and they get better. But you've been watching the film, and they're physical lines of scrimmage, man, and we're going to have to really play well.
Yeah, how do you get ready? Do you do anything different getting ready for two quarterbacks?
No, I mean, they're still similar in how they do things. Not going to change a lot, I don't think. But, I mean, they got two guys that can execute. And then Doty, I mean, his foot got injured, but I don't know if he's going to be healthy this week or not. So, you kind of just got to look at both sets and, you know, make your plan.
Did you see Nick show the bruise on his arm he said was from the fan storm in the field?
I think he bumped into it the door as he walked out of his house. I think that's what happened. I'm joking. No, I didn't see that. I'm surprised I don't have them. I bet if I looked, I'd have some too. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, just there was no room on the field, and that is. I mean, it's a great experience, a great thing, but that is a scary thing when you're with the opponent on the other side. That somebody doesn't do anything. Man, those are scary. Those are scary sometimes, man.
Oh yeah. Well, the fans now. Coach, it's aggressive. I don't know if you see a lot of the fan stuff going on at stadiums. It's aggressive out there. Did you even get to Nick after the game, or could you find him?
Yeah, we did. We did get to each other. Yes, we did. He was still. He made sure he got through there, and I wanted to make sure I got through. And just out of respect, you know what I mean? Just say that. And I hate that for guys and players and stuff. And you know, and just the things that happen. Like, you know, I mean, people throw things like happening. Fans are passionate. I get it, man. We're in entertainment business and all that, but man, we still got player safety, people safety, and you got to be respectful. You know, if you storm the field and do that, please don't. The opponents and other players and coaches, man, you got to give them the respect, and that's a danger. That can be a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, well, did you see what happened to Tennessee?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I really wasn't watching. I was watching something else. I ended up watching a movie. My wife said, "Somebody comes across social media, something's going on in Tennessee game." We flipped it back over, and it was kind of already happening. And they were explaining all that stuff, and. You know, that's sad to see. It really is.
No.
I don't know what happened or anything like that, but it doesn't matter. Those things can never happen.
No, no, you can't be throwing golf balls even at length. No, no, can't do that. Nuh-uh.
No. I mean that's serious. I mean you literally. I mean, you're talking about full water bottle. I mean, I could kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And there was a bunch out there too, boy. It was all about a spot by the referees that they didn't get.
Is that what it was? I never knew that. I had no idea what provoked it or did it or. I mean, that's wow. Wow.
Yeah. It looked like he picked up the first down, but they spotted him short, and then all of a sudden it came raining down. That was certainly ugly. Well, Coach, you got one more, and then a bye week after that. You got a week off after that. I'll bet you guys are looking forward. It could probably can't be coming at a better time. How's your team health wise going into this one?
You know, we are pretty healthy. I mean, even though it's physical, we're banged. Like, typical bangs and bruises of a season, and you know it is coming at a good time. That'd be 8 straight weeks. So you need to regroup mentally, physically. Get a couple of days there to get your body back right and your mind right, and then work on some details going down the stretch of the last 4 teams you're playing. Now, we'll do a lot of film study, have them broken down, and make sure we're evaluating some little nuances that they may do that we can spend an extra day or so on during the week and really then get back to fundamentals. And then, you know this, when you get into game planning so much and you're in fundamental and individual work, but, you know, it's still good to be able to come back for a full day or so and really preach the individuals and get back to those techniques.
Yep. Well, Coach, we'll let you go. We appreciate you. Best of luck this week against South Carolina, and then you'll get a much-needed week off. That'll be fun. So we appreciate you being here again, Coach.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. There's Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right there, 290 and 610 18th Street. You get off at that 18th Street exit, and you get over there, and you enjoy. We love going there and watching games. They got great wings, and all the food and drink and everything you could possibly want. So get on over there and watch your Aggies over there. Didn't ask him about. I did ask him about the distraction. He said there is no distraction, but he was asked yesterday. Jimbo was asked yesterday about the LSU job, and here's what he had to say.
I love being here. This is the job I wanted. I'm being here. I got a great contract. I have an unbelievable chancellor. Have an unbelievable president, unbelievable AD, that we're building something. We're recruiting great players. I really believe we're on the process of building something great. I plan on being here and fulfilling this contract and doing everything. My family has roots here. I got ranches here. I hunt here. I love everything about this place. I coached there. It was a great place. We won national championships. It is one of the best, you know, best places in America. It's a wonderful place. I love being an A&M, and I plan on being an A&M here and fulfilling my whole contract. I love everything about this place.
Well, I guess that's your answer. And plus, I mean, how much money? I mean, how much more can they pay him?
I mean, his agent isn't happy about that.
Well, right.
His agent wants him to go, well, another, we'll see what happens.
No, I might go. I just might. No. That's a great answer for all the Aggies out there. This guy, he is building something, too.
So how many weeks in a row do I get to call Jimbo and stuff before is it too soon to ask, hey, can I go hunt on one of your ranches?
There's never a time you should.
Damn.
Do.
All right. Yeah. Thought so.
Can I go hunting on one of your ranches?
Come on, Coach. I'll go with you. I'll carry the dead deer. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. No. There is never a time for that, Aaron. There's never a time for you to go asking Jimbo to go hunting on one of his ranches. When we come back, Eduardo Rodriguez with the look of Carlos Correa's looking at his watch, pointing to his watch. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're looking for the best way to get rid of that car, who was it yesterday told me? We were out at the golf tournament, and somebody said that they sold their car to GiveMeTheVin.com. Was it Carlos? I think it was Carlos or... I was Carlos Silva stopped by, or maybe one of the guys I was playing with. They said, yeah, I sold my, maybe Eric or Taylor. I sold my car to GiveMeTheVin.com and got the most for it. Way more, way more than the other, like $2,000 more than the other people were offering. And listen, that's what happens at a dealership. God bless. That's how they make their money. They want to get your vehicle for as little as they can. And that's what they do so that they can resell it and make some money. Well, John Clay Wolf, for whatever reason, doesn't care about how much money he pays you for your vehicle. It's just he pays more, period. And then he sells them at auction for more, and he still gets more. It's unbelievable how he does it and what he's done, but he's the biggest and he's the best. So if you're going to sell your car, go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Underrated Mess says, remember when Granato said he'd get a front-end starter, an ace? This is exactly why. We got Tommy Stark put out this. He's got Carlos pointing to his wrist, his watch. What time is it? It's time to buy more pitching. That's what time it is. Do you agree? 713-780-3776. You spend that money instead of on Correa, do you spend that money on pitching? You can have either or right now. Is what you're seeing right now make you a believer? This is what I've thought for a while now. I've said it here, and you know what? I don't know, wrong or right, I don't know. We'll see. But with McCullers, as tenuous as it is, he gets hurt a lot. Without him at the top of the rotation, this is what we're looking at. And listen, they're not this bad all the time, but they're bad. Right? Well, they're bad right now because the Red Sox are good. I mean, now The Athletic has a story today that maybe the Astros are tipping their pitches. I don't know. I mean, come on. How about they're just getting lit up? That's what they're doing. They're getting lit up by a team that's just red hot. And this happens in the postseason. This team has come together, and this is the kind of stuff that you see. Now Eduardo Rodriguez, after he got Correa out the third time, pointed at his wrist. What time is it? And here is Cora, Alex Cora, talking about that. He was none too pleased. He took him. He was like, no, he's screaming at him. Don't do that. Don't do that. And here's what he had to say afterwards.
We don't act that way. I mean, you know, we just show up, we play, and we move on. And he knows. I let him know. We don't have to do that. You know, if we're looking for motivation outside of what we're trying to accomplish, we're in the wrong business. You know, the only motivation we have is to win four games against them and move on to the next round.
And then Rodriguez was asked about it, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, he just told me don't do that. I mean, like I said earlier, it's just something that was part of the moment. You know what I mean? But he just told me, like, I mean, we don't do that here. Stay humble. You know what I mean? Just go out there and play hard every time. You know what I mean? And like I say, I feel bad for myself because I do that. You know what I mean? And even I say apologize to Correa if I see him in person. You know what I mean? Because that's not things that I normally do. And it was just part of the game. That's it.
He wishes that he could or he will apologize to Carlos. Here's Carlos on it after the game.
He did my celebration. I thought it was kind of cool. It's just the way baseball should trend moving forward. You know, we talk about making baseball fun. We talk about baseball, you know, growing and more people coming to watch the sport. You know, you need things like that. You need to let the players have fun. And you know, I loved it personally. I think the game should move in that direction where you can show emotions, you can be yourself, and you can keep it real. There is a lot of, you know, in the media. I know you ask me questions. I keep it real all the time, and I say how it is. And there's a lot of fakeness out there, the cliche answers that you get. And I feel like players should express themselves and have fun. So I love every single bit of it. He pitched a great game. He threw six innings, struck out like seven. I mean, he was nasty. His fastball coming out was great. So whenever you have a great performance like that against, you know, the number one offensive team there were a season, we were the number one offensive team in the season, you can do whatever you want, and you should have fun.
I like it. Yeah, what if Carlos would have come? Hey, you can't, because that's hypocritical. If you're going to do that, if you're going to point to your watch, what time is it, and then pound your chest, it's my time, then you got to expect the guys to come back at you. And you know what? That's great. I loved it. I love that. That is great.
Well, you know Cora got onto his case because he knows, having been in that locker room, you don't give them bulletin board material. You don't do any of that. You shut your mouth. You want to wake them up? Because that will wake them up.
The White Sox woke him up. The White Sox, you know, Tapera woke him up. And you know, that was a bad thing, but you know, I'm with him. That's just fun. You're right. Cora don't want no part of that. Do not piss them off. Agree 100% with Carlos. He's a good bleeping dude, says Art. What do you guys think? 713-780-3776. What do you think about getting more pitching? Instead, okay, you got a choice. You can have Carlos or you can have pitching. Which one you want? Brandon? Let's bring Brandon in here. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, John. What's going on, man? Hey, great show as always. Love you guys. And I think y'all are the best sports morning show in Houston, man. Listen every morning.
I appreciate that. And I agree with you.
Man, I'll tell you what, I just wanted to, you know, comment on that. Back to that trade deadline, I mean, when you get a chance to kind of, you know, put your stamp on this, and I'm not, you know, means, I mean, five straight LCSs is a huge accomplishment, but when you look at the Atlanta Braves of the 90s and only one world championship, I think, you know, Houston fans are always impatient. John, I've been down here all my life, and I've rooted for, you know, several Houston teams, and definitely I'm only a fan of the Astros now. And I think when you look at the trade deadline, yeah, they spent a great amount of resources to kind of, you know, fix that bullpen and get a guy like Kendall Graveman. But I was with you all along from July on. Max Scherzer was the target. And also, I'm sure there were talks about Jose Barrios. But I think if you look at the offseason, not saying the series is over, but it's like you got Lance McCullers, you gave him the contract, and you got a bunch of Band-Aids after that. It's like, you know, we're just going to patch this up and do the best we can and use the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, kind of system of the opener, which I do not like for baseball. And it just shows how much this club really misses a true ace, like a Verlander, a guy that would go out there and just battle for, you know, six or seven innings and keep you at a ball game. And I think this offseason, I hate to see Carlos go, but I'm with you, John. Pitching is a top resource, and pitching and defense win championships. And I'll hang on to see collect your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, and somebody says there's no need for a choice. False premise, $77 million coming off the books. Dude, you got... It just because that you can't give Carlos a 10-year, $34 million a year deal and think with Yordan and Tucker and all the young pitchers coming up. I mean, you're just thinking of this year, and that's just not the case in baseball. It's not just this one year. There is money coming off the books, but this is a long-term, big-time commitment because he's going to the open market and somebody's offering him stupid, stupid money. And to compete with that, you're going to have to pay him stupid, stupid money. And so it's not just this year. It's not a false premise. This is probably an either or. And even with McCullers healthy, is that enough? When you're looking at the Dodgers rotation, when you're looking at Tampa, when you're looking at even Boston, I don't know that just McCullers is enough. You need a guy that is going to step up and just mow people down, and you don't have that. You just don't have it. And, you know, it's not a great free agent pitcher market. There's a guy or two, or maybe you even need a couple. A couple of guys that you're going to give good, good money to that could bolster this rotation because you don't have it right now.
Well, I mean, I think it was Mark Berman who had it a couple days ago. Strami says he might retire after this season.
He was always
your Band-Aid where you could bring in a middle-of-the-pack starter, let Brent Strom and the analytics team look at him, fix him, turn him into a workhorse. If he's gone, you can't just go grab something off the scrap heap and go, okay, this will work. You're going to have to go out and get somebody who's already proven that they can do it and actually pay them. This isn't going to be we'll just take any guy. We can, you know, fix his mechanics and we'll get him in there. Not if Brent Strom isn't there. I don't know if I have faith in that team to do that.
Yep. Yeah. No. Well, at some point, Stromy's not going to be there, so you gotta prepare for that, and that's just the reality of it. I mean, dude is older and he's going to retire, and you just gotta live with that. But get good pitchers anyway. Get somebody in here that Stromy. You know what? Stromy can work with them in the off season, pay him some, work with guys, and then, I don't know. I wonder how much some of these decisions that Dusty makes is Stromy. How much Strami is actually input he's giving him in game, as opposed to just, you know, coaching him up between games or during games and going out there and working with him or whatever. But I don't know how much Dusty listens to him, because some of the decisions he makes, we've all been shaking our head. What the hell are you doing? Let's get Troy in here. Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
I agree with the other callers. Best one on in the morning. My question, I agree with you guys. You got to address the pitching in offseason. But my question is Verlander really gone, do you think? And, I mean, what if he comes back and he's got a couple more years and he's got enough gas in his tank to pitch two or three more years? You let him go and he goes somewhere and he's a 17, 18-game winner. How do we know Verlander's maybe not that? doesn't help us out next year if you can figure out a way to keep him. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, him not being there at all for these guys the last 2 years. I know in 20 he couldn't because of COVID and all that stuff. But this year he could have shown up. And Ben Verlander, don't tell me he couldn't. Guys, McCullers is around. He's not on the roster, and he's around. He could have been there for the guys. He absolutely could have been there and hung out and helped, you know, helped with young pitchers, just done anything, and just showing any kind of support. His brother already said he's not coming back here. He was a rental. That's all he was. And get used to it, Houston. He's out. Somebody's going to pay him a big money. Jim Crane's paid him $66 million for the last 2 years for six innings of work. $66 million for six innings. What is that at? Well, how does that figure? So I don't know. I'm not counting on Verlander, whether or not he could or can't. I don't know. I don't know that you give that huge money to him. I think he's going to get paid. You know, they made him a qualifying offer, which is 19, I believe. I forget what it was. I think it's $19 million. This is qualifying offer. He probably gets more than that on the open market. And even if he doesn't, he might take, you know, he wants multi-years more than likely. I don't know that you offer him that. So I'm not counting on Verlander. He might win 18 games for somebody. I just don't think it's going to be the Astros. Rolando is next. Hey, Rolando, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, we need to address our pitching back because we're looking like the Houston Dennys out there with all these grand slams we're serving. This is just embarrassing. This is embarrassing. Verlander is not he's not going to come back. We're going to have to. I was on that Pei Correa bandwagon, but after last night, I had enough of that. We need pitching. We need it bad. We need it really bad. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah. You know, I think we underestimate. Well, we love the hitting that these guys have done during this run, but they've had some great pitching. You're talking about Cole and Morton and Verlander and Keuchel at the beginning of this thing when it started. He was good, still good in 17 when they won it, and what you got out of Charlie Morton and what you got out of McCullers. And I think we're underestimating that. I know, you know, obviously hitting is so huge, but and Carlos is such a big part of it. But you gotta get that pitching back, man. You don't have it right now, and it's showing, and it's hurting. 713-780-3776. Those of you who don't know, Lance is sick. He's not here. So if you guys want to get in and help, you are more than welcome to come in and hang with us. Dell said he's going to come as soon as he can get here. He lives down in Galveston or somewhere, Alvin or something. I don't know. So he's going to try to get up here with the traffic and be a part of the show. But you are more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's take a quick one here talking about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. If you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, then you go see some of my favorite people. These, you know, we work with a lot of people here in the industry, and all of our clients. I really, really enjoy. I really do use their products. And doing the deal at Chastang Ford was so easy, so wonderful. You saw them behind the scenes working that deal with Ford as hard as they possibly could, caring about what I needed. What was it that I wanted in that Ford car or truck? What is it that I could pay every single month? And let's get there. So, I mean, and I got the best package that I possibly could in that vehicle. But right now, with the shortage of vehicles, you pick exactly what you want. You customize it to what exactly you want. And so you don't have to take extras that you don't care about. And, oh, by the way, they won't add anything on because they never ever, ever do that. So if you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go, and it's Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all, and they'll come to you. They will come to you at your home at ChastangFord.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:45. We are back. 713-780-3776. No Lance today. Not feeling well. So hopefully he gets better, and he will be back with us tomorrow here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell is making his way in so that he can hang out and talk. He had to. How is Patrick Creighton got sick yesterday? How is he? Anybody here?
They had to keep him overnight to be monitored. Apparently, they think he has an infection somewhere in his body, but don't know what it is.
Well, best of luck to him. During the show yesterday, he got sick.
Yeah, right before he had, what's his name?
Baseball. Bob Nightingale?
Yes. Yeah, Nightingale on. Walked out, looked at Dell, and went, hey, you can talk baseball, right? Because I can't do this. You got to
do it. Dell is our baseball expert here at the station.
Yeah, clearly.
Loves the game. Loves the game.
And I was down there doing stuff that I do, you know, post-show, working on promos and stuff like that. Had I known, I would have come in here and at least let him take it over earlier so he could sit in the chair and not run the board and interview Bob Nightingale and do all this stuff at the exact same time.
That's Dell. Look at him. Look at our
workhorse.
Young Dell, all growed up. That's what we're going to call him. We'll call him Lil Dell. Should we call him Lil? Lil Dell? Or Young Dell? I don't know. We'll have to
figure that out. I like
Young Dell.
Young Dell? What about Captain Dell?
What about Lil Dell? I like that. We got some people who want to talk about his Astros. What Irv wants to talk about John Gruden, I guess. Hey, what's going on, Irv?
Hey, what's up, Johnny G? It's a long time no see, baby.
What's up, my brother? I can't hear you.
Real quick, yeah.
Go.
Hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Nope. All right. Hey, Johnny, you were talking about the Astros earlier and talking about keeping Correa or pitching. And at first I was thinking, yeah, we should keep Correa because he's kind of one of the leaders. But then after what I saw yesterday, I was like, yeah, no, we should do pitching instead because, man, how do you go up 9-3 in the first three innings? I mean, it's just crazy. It feels like you're tired. The game's right. It takes the wind out of us already. You're like, you don't even want to watch the rest of the game. Like, man, it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you.
I had a question for the NFL guy, but he's not here. But you can do probably better. I had a question because of the John Gruden scandal.
Mm-hmm.
How come with the email it took about 10, 12 years to find something misogynistic, and I think he said some anti-gay slurs or whatever he had said on there.
Mm-hmm.
But how come he got in trouble for that? But yeah, you got Deshaun Watson sitting over here still pending 20 cases of sexual misconduct, and he's still getting paid out of the league. How does that even work, man? I hang up and listen.
It's a question a lot of people are asking. Mi hijo. Gracias, mi hijo. ¿Qué pasó, mi hijo? It's a question a lot of people are asking, man. It's a tough situation. You know what? You're better off doing that than having any kind of homophobic or racial slur. You're better off with potential sexual assault. You just are. Plus, he's a player. Plus, he's really good. He's a really good player, so we forgive really good players, and we overlook that. And even not really good players. Greg, I don't know how much was left in Greg Hardy's tank. He's done. You know, he the Cowboys, after all that happened, and I say, I just can't root for those guys. I hated when the Astros brought on a domestic violence guy. It just they put a cloud over the whole organization. I hated, you know, I just was like, come on, Cowboys. You're really going to bring on Greg Hardy after all the stuff that you heard? He was found guilty, but then it was overturned because on appeal. I mean, I don't know. Deshaun, you know, a fan base is going to have to deal with that. We'll see what happens with it. But he is going to play again. But John Gruden's done. John Gruden is done. Here's the deal, too, though. He's the leader of the team, and especially there's how many, you know, the racial makeup of a locker room. For him to be saying the stuff that he said, it's just too tough to get that done. But no, a lot of people are asking, how does this work with Deshaun and John Gruden? How do you – I don't know how you justify it. I don't. That's too big a question for me. Sherwin is here. Hey, Sherwin.
Hey, how's it going, John? I've been a long-time listener.
I appreciate it, man.
I was just going to throw up a couple of questions for you to answer. One of them, why is it, do you think, that the hitters on the team have such a hard time with the outside pitches? Because if you look at the Red Sox, they're crushing everything. Stanek threw like a 97 mile per hour fastball to Devers. He just crushes it over the Greek monster. And I was just wondering what your thoughts on that was. Also, do you think that Framber is a one hit wonder because he's just kind of become a little mediocre this year after having such a stellar 2020? And also, I was just curious what you think about the pitching, why they have such an inability to either throw strikes or what John Smoltz mentioned, throwing pitches inside the hitters and busting them in. I was curious about what you thought about all that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no hitting expert, so I don't, you know, Devers had a huge problem with fastballs early in the year. You'll remember when they faced him, he couldn't hit a fastball. So it was a heavy dose of fastballs for him. And now, you know, he's a really good hitter. Listen. Why are they hitting in the Astros? The Astros have gone through lulls this year, the best hitting team in baseball, and they just go through lulls. They, you know, sometimes good pitching piece. They've got more pitching than the Astros do. Now, I mean, we'll see. They need to hit Pivetta. They need to hit Pivetta tonight. They really do because, you know, Rodriguez was really good. You heard Carlos say, man, he was nasty. He was throwing stuff wherever he wanted. The ball was moving. He was really, really tough. I mean, sometimes pitchers got you, and Rodriguez had him last night. That's all there was to it. I'm no hitting expert, so I don't know. Those guys are – both teams are really good hitting teams. You got to come with somebody, and Rodriguez had it last night, and the Astros didn't. We'll see. We'll see what happens tonight with Pivetta because you got to get to him. You know, you can get to Sale, obviously. There's guys that you can get to here. There are guys that you can get to. Uvalde is going to be really tough, and Rodriguez is going to be really tough, and you're going to see them again if this is a long series. Got to win one, man. That's it. Just win one. Hit tonight. That's all. We've seen this team go through lulls, and they come out of it. They got to come out of it tonight against Pivetta. Taze is here. What's up, Taze? Taze, are you there? Hey, Taze. No, all right. Bye, Taze. I don't know if that's his name. Is that his name? Is someone really named Taze? We haven't talked about the Texans yet. Whitney Mercilus released. You want to talk about, I mean, every single decision that they made, the money that they paid, that Bill O'Brien, the contracts, and you know what? Jack Easterby was a huge part of that. And he and Bill O'Brien together really were about as bad. You cannot have a worse combination of people making decisions, personnel decisions, and salary cap decisions than those two made. And he's hiding behind the owner and this general manager, and he is definitely complicit on the demise of this organization. And he is now in the back. He was out front, and he and Bill O'Brien were always together. Bill O'Brien said during COVID, they would walk across the street. They would take walks and sometimes walk across the street from each other and yell stuff that they were going to do, that they needed to do. And otherwise, he was hand in hand with Bill O'Brien making these decisions and paying Whitney Mercilus that kind of money for a guy who just was not, he's not good enough to be on an NFL roster. If you get cut by the Texans right now, a team that has to have that has no pass rush, and that's what you are supposed to be, where can you possibly, you can't, there's not a semifinal league that you can be. It's unbelievable these decisions that those guys made, and Jack Easterby is still working for the organization. It is unbelievable to me, And Whitney Mercilus is the personification of the poor decision making that they did, and how they destroyed this organization, and yet he's still there hiding. Hiding behind, it's unbelievable that this guy still has a job in the NFL. Unbelievable. Because Bill O'Brien doesn't, but Jack Easterby, just because he was second in command, he somehow has escaped this. He has escaped the wrath of this owner. And he was complicit, because I've got information of the decision making that went on, and Jack Easterby was a huge part of it. And for them to give Whitney Mercilus that contract, and the guy can't even make the team. Can't even make the team. Can't even be on the roster. That is just, that to me is the straw. And for Jack Easterby to be hiding and on the sidelines with this team is just unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
It reminds me of, so like every now and then I can do, I perform wedding ceremonies part-time as an extra gig on the weekends. It reminds me of like when the photographer, some counties require both the bride and groom to sign the wedding or the marriage license. And they always want the photographer to get that picture of them holding hands, writing, like signing it together as one. That's what Jack and Bill were doing on every contract that they gave out to pet kids.
Well,
to Nick Martin, Whitney Mercilus, Kaimi Fairbairn.
Kaimi Fairbairn. Hey, oh, my gosh. It is unbelievable.
Hold on. Can we get go get Jack real quick? We need to sign this together. We got to hold hands and sign.
Get rid of Clowney and pay them $7 million of his contract. Get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. Bring to make the Tunsil deal and without getting him to sign a long-term contract. Everything that they did, just destroying this organization. And he is still working.
That's and funny he, right there.
He cannot say that he was not part of that decision-making, because he was. Everything that they did together. During the pandemic, it was me and Jack. It is unbelievable to me. And Whitney Mercilus, to me, is probably the persona. He and, you're right, Nick Martin. Oh, my gosh. That they extended him and gave him all that money. It's unbelievable.
They make him the second highest center in the league at that point.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Can I get a contract for something? I mean, I won't do it very
well.
I
would have loved to have worked for those guys, just because I'm terrible, and I would have gotten paid.
As soon as
why can't Bill O'Brien run this place so I could get paid with my terribleness? 713-780-3776, 758 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. No, Lance, if you want to get in, hurry up. Dave, you'll be first up. 713-780-3776.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.